Any of you have any questions about it, it's located on the eastern seaboard, and it's a rather large city. It has these buildings, white marble and all that, big things sticking up. I forget, what's that big thing sticking up, the Sky Ride or something they've got there? It's a big thing. And I was in our nation's capital one night, and I happened to be employed at that time in a very lowly capacity by the U.S. government. I was in the... the one thing they did do, they gave you your clothes. And I was employed by the U.S. government in an organization known as the Signal Corps. And let's put it this way, I was a yard bird, a dog face. There are other expressions which we used in the organization to describe the state that I was in, rank-wise, which I cannot use on the air tonight because there are women and children. No, I can't. Come on, are you kidding? You know what it is. I don't have to tell you. So anyway, I'm walking around, and I have received a weekend pass, a long weekend pass. In fact, I had a 4-day pass, kind of unusual, yeah. And I had traded a guy for KP, a couple of things, so I had 4 days at my disposal. Now, I had in my pocket probably $35 total, which was a lot of kale. That's right. So. I walked out of this innocently. This is how you innocently walk into the mousetrap. You just walk right into it, friends, and you just know. Now, a life of crime, once begun, is almost impossible to get out of, especially when you walk into it backwards, innocently. So I'm walking around in Washington, see, so I decided that what I was going to do, I was going to go home for this 4 days. See, I figured I could have a day or two home. And I had not been home. I don't know why I wanted to go home. There's nobody seriously ever wants to go to Hammond, Indiana. And I just felt I ought to do it because I hadn't been home like for 2 years. And they were starting to worry and stuff. And since I never wrote or anything, once in a while they'd get a letter from the government about my insurance. My mother was worried because after all this time I was still a PFC. So she figured something must have happened. one way or the other. So I decided on this day. That I was going to go home. It was on a Saturday night that this happened. It was a Friday night I made the decision, and it was like late Friday night, early Saturday morning, like a couple of hours from now, when I began my life of Slamville. So I'm walking around town in Washington trying to figure out how I'm going to get to Hammond, Indiana. Well, I obviously couldn't afford a plane ticket with the kind of scratch I had in my pocket. So I went down to there was an Air Force base down there, say, where you could, if you hung around and looked sad enough, and a plane was going within 5,000 miles of where you were going, it may take you along. Forget it. I mean, the only planes that were going out were heading to Greenland. And I would have been better off, actually, the way it finally worked out, if I had spent the weekend in Greenland. But I decided against that, because once you land in a place like that, they may get ideas and keep you there. You don't want to give anybody ideas, so... I'm sweating it out. And so finally, I go down to the train station. I never think of trains. I never ride on trains. Trains is something I never really rode on. So somebody says at the USO, how come you don't go on the train? I said, a train? How long does it take to get to Chicago on a train? Oh, guy says, oh, weeks. But what the hell, you know? And so I said, well, all right, I'll go down there. Well, I went down to the train station, and they had a special rate for GIs, I discovered, which I did not know until then. And I stood in line with a bunch of other people, and I bought a ticket. And I was able to get a ticket, special rate. It cost me something like $31, round trip, a special GI rate. And that didn't include anything like a seat or anything like that. I mean, at that rate, you didn't get things like Pullman or anything like that, dining cars. So the train was to leave in about 2 hours. Now it was about... maybe 9 o'clock, and so I went over to the USO. I was really scratching. I had about $3 in my pocket. I was really down on my upper seat. So I walked over to the USO, and there was this buddy of mine over there, Metropolis. He was in the USO, and I said, hey, Metropolis, I'm going home. He said, yeah, really? And I had never gone home before, see, so this was all a new thing to me. 2 years I hadn't gone home. So Metropolis says, man, he says, watch out for them MPs on the train. I said, what do you mean? I didn't know that. He says, yeah, they got MPs on the train. Watch out, man. You better have your pass in your pocket. You better be right there. Remember your serial number and all that stuff. So I said, oh, no kidding. Little realizing he was telling me the truth. I mean, laying it down. So I said, oh, don't worry about that. I know my serial number. It's about the only thing I know. I know that. So Metropolis says, well, man, hang in. So I go back to the train station, and sure enough, everybody's getting on the train now. It's leaving at 11 o'clock, and it was a special train. Did you ever hear of the Capital Limited? Yeah, it was a Capital Limited I'm getting on, see? And I heard guys sing songs about that train, but if I ever sang my song about that train, friends, I'd love to get sued. So I wind up in line with a lot of people getting on the train. I'm very innocent, and I'm all excited, and I've got my DOP kit with me, you know, DOP kit stuff and stuff. I'm going to go home. And I walk through the train, and every seat on the train was reserved. Now, that's important. And I had a reserved ticket. I mean, you know, they gave me a seat. So I go back to car 42, seat 12D, or whatever it was, and there it's a blue seat. And I sit down in it, and I'm all excited. I got my ticket stuck in my GI blouse. I had this Eisenhower blouse, you know. So the train slowly starts to move. And you know that exciting moment when a train starts to move? It's kind of dim in there, and the lights get dim. And it looked like the whole, like the platform was moving. You didn't even feel like the train was moving. The platform starts to move. And I see all these people sitting on, elegant people all around. And I was the only enlisted man in the entire car, which I later found out was kind of unusual, but it was the truth. There were a couple of captains. There was a major up there, and there was a commander coming back from someplace, an elegant-looking commander. You know how they look elegant, you know, in dress blues. And there were a lot of racketeers and, you know, guys with their chicks and everything all sitting around. And there I am in the middle of it there, see, with my PFC stripe. And I've got my uniform all nicely pressed. I got it pressed at the USO, so I'm ready to go. I got clean underwear on and everything. So I'm rolling out. Well, it's now about midnight, and I'm really tired. And a guy comes along. I had not eaten. And a guy comes along down the aisle, and he's got one of these things hanging in front of him like a vendor at a ballpark. And he's selling these cardboard sandwiches, see, with the plastic bologna in it. Well, since this was new to me, I thought, they'd be elegant somehow being on a train. So I get the sandwich, and I buy one. It was 60 cents, a terrible price. Now, I had about $3 in my pocket, see. So I was hungry, so I bought this liverwurst sandwich. I don't know what kind of liverwurst they had. It was like they made this liverwurst out of old ground-up shoe heels or something, see. But I was hungry. I ate the wrapper and the whole bit, see, and I had this orange thing. He gave me a little can of orange, which I bought for another 40 cents. I blew a buck right there. So I drank this orange, and I was still thirsty. So I ate the carton and everything. You know, I chewed the wax off of it, and the people were all sitting around, and one man, and they... Oh, I'll never forget what happened that night, because this one man across from me, he leans across to me, and he says, Signal Corps, eh, soldier? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, very interesting outfit. And I said, yeah, I suppose. I mean, if you like a bed of nails or something, I suppose it's interesting. You know, I suppose being caught in a flash forest fire is interesting, you know, if you look at it one way. And he says, a very good outfit. He said, they're very interesting. We do a lot of business with your outfit. Okay. I could see this was high money. So I'm leaning back, and the next thing I know, I am dead asleep. Fell asleep completely. Gee, it felt great. The train is rocking. And I'm asleep. It was one of the most interesting sleeps I've ever had. Because it seemed like almost instantaneously. I didn't even remember sleeping or anything. You know, sometimes you sleep so soundly, you don't dream, you just plunge into a coma. There's blackness. And the next thing I know, I wake up, somebody is shaking me very roughly, and somebody is pressing something in the back of my neck. And I look up, and it's dark. At first, I didn't know where I was. You know, late at night, they turn the lights out in the car as they dim them so everybody can sleep. It's very dim. I wake up, and I see this face looking right down at me. He's looking right over me. And he's got a big hat on, and I see it's the conductor. And I said, what? He said, where's your ticket, soldier? Let me see your ticket. I said, ticket? You already took the ticket. He said, I never saw you before. Let me see your ticket. I said, ticket, I gave... And the two guys standing behind him, one of them pressing a thing in the back of my neck, were two MPs with the big white hats and the white bands, and they were just looking down at me. And one of them says, get your ticket out, soldier, and get it out quick. I reach into my pocket. I had opened my coat, you see, so I could sleep. I just kept it on. I opened. No ticket. It's gone. It is gone from inside my coat. I showed it to you. And I said, that guy, that man over there, he remembers. And here was the other guy, the man who had just talked to me. He's asleep. They wake him up. He looks me right in the eye and says, I never saw him before. My God. There I am. No ticket. And I said, well, you put this thing in the front. He says, I don't see no check on the front of that seat there. What were you doing, hiding back in the baggage car? Did you sneak forward or something as soon as we got going? Did you hide back here? I said, where are we? I've got a ticket. I bought it. I said, I bought it back in Washington. And I'm getting scared. Well, the train slowed up. They literally made a stop for me. They slowed up the train, and these two MPs took me down to the end of the car, and one of them said, let me see your pass, soldier. He said, let me see your pass. I reached into my pocket. I had a wallet. My wallet's gone. Somebody has neatly shucked me while I was asleep. I said, my wallet. I got a pass. He said, what outfit you in? I said, 3162nd Signal Airborne, Signal Airborne Battalion. He said, you're in trouble. He says, that's what we're here for. We're picking up deserters in AWOL. And the train is slowly stopping. And the three of us, me and the two MPs, get off. And 10 minutes later, I am in a cell in a town called Dry Run, Pennsylvania. Is there a Dry Run, Pennsylvania? I'm telling you, so help me God, I'm raising my hand. I couldn't believe it. I thought they were putting me on. I'm sitting in this slam. And 5 minutes later, them two MPs just depart. And there I sat. With a sheriff sitting out in front. Once in a while, he'd come back and say, you want coffee, bud? I'd say, yeah, I need something. And that was the beginning. I don't want to tell you the rest of the story. But it was a very interesting 4 days. I'll give you a clue. I never did get home. And I might point out, in the slam in Dry Run, Pennsylvania, they serve fantastic pancakes in the morning. They don't give you no syrup with it, but they give you plenty of pancakes and black coffee. And then they gave me a roommate. You want to hear about him? Oh, man. I'll see you tomorrow at Bloomfield. I hate you.